I have friends who have become recent parents several months ago, and it's something that they expected and wanted and welcomed. Ever since they got married, they have looked forward to having children in their life. But it's funny to see how things change as soon as the child comes into the world. Now, I'm not saying they were party animals, but they certainly had a healthy social life, right? And so when the child comes and they're like, boom, social life is gone. It's all, they're getting barely getting enough sleep at night. And you guys know, as parents, you know, that first 3 months is, well, shocking to the system, right? So it's interesting, but if everything's changed, I mean, it's all about their new child and their family. And it's beautiful to see. Their priorities, which was focused on them as a couple, right? And their focus was on them, and now has changed to their priorities and focus on a family. And everything gets adjusted to that new reality. But even like he said to me recently, he said, you know, that moment has changed our life. Everything is completely different now. And they see everything completely different. And of course, you know, they don't know very much yet. I do well. No, it's only 4 months, right? So you know how much yet they have to figure out. Please don't tell them because I'm spoiled. It is tempting to say, well, you don't know anything else. Of course, see, I don't have kids. I just witness it, and I go, ooh, they've got a lot to go. But it is beautiful to see how their whole focus becomes completely different because that has changed them completely. The reason I bring that up this morning is because I think that's a great image for what the resurrection is meant to be for us. The resurrection changes everything. Everything. Without the resurrection, Paul would say, without the resurrection, empty would our faith be. It would be meaningless without the resurrection. The resurrection changes everything. And that's exactly what we celebrate today. That's the very message, that it changes everything for all of us, and it ought to change everything for all of us. But it isn't so sort of straightforward right away. Like new parents, it sort of unfolds slowly to us, and we learn it in time. But it does change everything. You know, the disciples, they had that same sense. Like, you know, they witnessed Christ in the flesh. But in the resurrection, everything changed. Completely, completely changed. I mean, they go to the empty tomb, Mary Magdalene and the other women go to the tomb, and they're shocked. He's gone. Where is he gone? So they go back to their disciples, and Peter and the other disciples come down, and they look and they're like, he's gone. And it says today that they did not yet fully understand, because they didn't. But the other disciples still believed, even though he did not yet fully understand. Much the way new parents have to believe, even though they do not fully understand what they are going to undertake in the years and the years ahead. You see, that's the journey of faith that we need to go on. That we are our lives, that in our ultimate resurrection, in our own resurrection, when we die, all of life will make sense. Pannenberg, the great German philosopher, would say that in the resurrection, all of our life will make sense. But until then, we have to choose to believe that our life makes sense. And that's where we have to follow the other disciples. Then the question is, okay, so what is the resurrection all about? The resurrection is not a rescue from the pain and the suffering and the terrible things that happen. Look at what happened on Good Friday. The Son of God was not rescued from the pain and the suffering. He was redeemed through it. So the resurrection is not a rescue. It is redemption. It's very different. And so what we celebrate is that really what the resurrection is about love. That's what we celebrate. That the God's love is so overwhelming that there is nothing that can be outdo it. That He brought His Son so that He would experience everything like us, even the worst possible cruel death. And that He would, that we would know personally that God loves us. That's the message of resurrection. The message of joy, the message of love. Love is victorious. That's the message of Easter. That despite all the bitterness, the ugliness, the cursing that He received in Good Friday and roll up to it, and the beatings and the suffering and the poison and the hate, that He takes all that in, absorbs it, transforms it, and gives back blessing, gentleness, kindness, and even forgiveness. He gives back love. And that's what changes everything. You see, love has the power to change everything. And over again, if we allow it in our own lives, it will change us completely. So then, that's all great theology. I get it. Great book. But so what? What is the difference does it make to us? I mean, the danger is that we come each Easter and indeed each Sunday, and we hear the message, yeah, we know He raised the dead, What time is dinner? And we got sort of distracted, like it's Easter is a big family celebration, and that's great. But that's not what this celebration is about. This celebration is somehow meant to change us. Change us completely. See, the fact is, the Lord wants He wants us. He wants our total status. He wants everything from us. He's not satisfied with just a portion of us. He wants our complete self. So if you imagine ourselves as a house, how much of the house have we given to the Lord? A room? Is He in the garage? Is He just got a portion of the room? How much have we given? Our process, our challenge in discipleship is to give Him the entire house. Full access to everything. Now, I know that sounds really easy, but it's not so easy. We all hold on to some rooms in the house. I mean, I've been trying years, and I've still got some rooms that I don't want to mend, if I bother or not. I want to hold on to some portion of myself, some form of self-control that I think I have. But the Lord isn't satisfied if He has everything for us. He wants every room of our house. He wants to move in. He wants it to be His house. That's what He wants from us. Now look, some of us hold back different things. And we are all challenged in different ways what the Lord wants from us. Some of us hold back our possessions, our stuff, even our wealth. And the Lord wants us to convert that all over to Him. Some of us hold on to people in our lives that aren't good for us, that separate us from God, that actually don't bring us close to God, that keeps us further away from God. God wants to take all of that. Some of us hold on to unforgiveness. That's a special room in everybody's house, it seems to be a big room. And we don't want the Lord to go in there. But the Lord wants all of that unforgiveness. He wants the whole thing. He wants our whole house. So the question, He wants our total selves, and He's never, ever going to be settled until He has it all. It's never enough. He wants everything. And when we give Him everything, then that will be enough. Until then, it's never enough. You know, it reminds me, that phrase, never enough, reminds me of this beautiful song that comes in a movie called The Greatest Showman on Earth. Movie about a year and a half ago, and there was a story about The Greatest Showman. He puts on this show, really kind of a group of misfits that he puts together and makes this phenomenal show. And it's a beautiful musical, phenomenal singing. But he comes on and he discovers this and he's not satisfied. And he discovers this new talent in Europe, this beautiful woman with a beautiful voice. And so she comes and she has this debut at the Carnegie Hall and is And he now realizes this is big time, he can make it. But she, the singer, realizes that he's fulfilling her dream and she wants everything from him. She wants it all. I think if the Lord was going to sing a song to us this morning, it would be that song. But he wants it all from us. He never is enough. He wants, the towers of gold wouldn't be enough. The lights and the stars wouldn't be, the night sky wouldn't be enough. He wants our total self. Everything from us. So let's listen to the song right now. Never enough. And realize that the Lord wants it all.
The Lord wants our total selves for Him.